You know, 3, maybe 4 years ago, you know, the average Joe did not know anything about the supply chain. Then all of a sudden COVID, and then you realize that, you know, you couldn't get the parts to fix your dishwasher, your favorite cereal wasn't available, the Piggly Wiggly, or almost completed homes stood vacant because they couldn't get the final parts to finish it off. And all of a sudden, everybody cared about this. And in came Blue Yonder, a company that's really about 35 years old, but it's done these series of roll-ups that are all oriented toward the supply chain. Duncan Angrove is CEO of Blue Yonder and joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you, David. Thank you for having me.
So following the history of this company is really fascinating because I went back and I remember i2 Technologies. It was based here forever in a big leading edge company. And I guess the earlier version of your company bought that. And then you recently bought One Network Enterprises, paid over $800 million. They're based here. And then you're putting an artificial intelligence innovation studio here. It sounds like you're becoming a Dallas-based company.
Yeah, that's right, David. I mean, Dallas is kind of the center of our universe, certainly. And, you know, we're also have our customer innovation center here as well. And I think over 20% of the employees that we've hired in the U.S. this year have been into Dallas, and it's just increasing. So it's for some reason, Dallas has a really rich heritage in building great supply chain software companies.
And before everybody really knew how necessary it was, or at least I did anyway. So tell me what's new. Have things changed in the last 3 or 4 years? I mean, if this ever happens again, Lord help us, will we have a better sense of where things are and what alternatives there are to shipping or getting goods?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the pandemic sort of exposed probably what was sort of a malaise underneath the surface in how supply chains were built and were being run. And you've sort of seen two massive structural things happen that have changed the world of a supply chain practitioner. One was obviously on the demand side, and all the adoption of digital technology and e-commerce and all of that had a profound impact on it. Supply chains weren't designed to efficiently ship parcels to someone's house, right? They were shipping pallets to stores. And the second thing more recently, and with COVID and the pandemic, was all the supply side disruption, right? So what the pandemic did, the inventory bullwhips, I mean, the restructuring away from China, you know, and sort of in a way, the challenging of just in time and China as the factory of the world. So those two things sort of exposed that our supply chains were not as resilient or as reliable as we thought, and consumers and businesses felt it.
You know, one of the things that I remember years ago studying in the trucking business is there were full loads and there were less than a load, LTLs. And if you were shipping less than a load, you had to wait until you could get space. And then finally, if it would fill up and it happened to be going where your shipment was headed, then it would end up. But it sounds to me like you guys can you can aggregate these and more quickly find alternate methods.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, given all that business disruption that I talked about, the lucky thing that happened simultaneously was the emergence of new technology that sort of gave us a canvas on top of which to reimagine how software can solve some of these problems, like you just talked about, make the most efficient use of trucks. And it was the emergence of AI, and not just generative AI, by the way, but predictive AI before that, and the emergence of cheap and abundant robots. Like, those two things together have allowed us to solve problems at a scale that we've never been able to before.
It would seem like it's good to be an 800-pound gorilla in this business, so you have a real world view and have access to lots of different items. And that's really what Blue Yonder has become, right, through these series of acquisitions and roll-ups?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the sort of the history of acquisitions and doing roll-ups, you know, it was a private equity-backed business. I mean, that was quite a long time ago, over 10 years ago. And since then, you know, we've rewritten all the applications on a modern cloud platform with an AI-first mindset. You know, we do 165 billion AI predictions a month, right? So we're powering the world with AI already at scale. And to your point, what's kind of cool about it is it's across industries. You know, we've got 76 of the top 100 retailers in the world. Just in CPG and manufacturing, we've got 74 of the top 100. So what you see, which is really cool, is you see these secular trends that you see on the news and stations like yours actually playing out in your business. So last year, semiconductor was a huge vertical for us on the back of the CHIPS Act. right? You know, this year it's automotive as people are struggling with EV and how that reshapes your supply chain. So it's kind of neat because you see these trends playing out in business.
I was looking at a list of your clients, and they really are very diverse, you know, lots and lots of different areas. Is there an area of concentration? It looked like retail was at a point in time.
Yeah, there's sort of broadly this sort of three verticals when you think about it. There's retail, and that's everything from grocery to fashion retailers to, you know, electronics retailers. It's manufacturing, and it's all flavors of it. So it's consumer packaged goods. It's you know, it's high tech semi. It's automotive. It's all of that. And then it's the logistics providers. So, you know, it's the United States Postal Service. It's FedEx. It's DHL. It's you name it. It's all of those guys. So, and obviously, in some ways, all those companies are really supply chain companies. Yeah. You know, at their core. And you know, in a way, we're almost like an operating system, supply chain operating system for the world, you know. And I like to think that these industries run on our software rails. Anywhere something's moving, a raw material or a finished good or something going to a grocery store, it's generally running on our operating system.
Let me talk about the new acquisition here, One Network Enterprises. $839 million, a lot of money to pay for a company. What does that bring you?
So we're always been big believers in the network. And if you think about supply chains, you know, by definition, they do things that sit outside a single enterprise. If you think about products like an enterprise resource planning product, like an SAP or an Oracle, it's designed to automate things inside the four walls of a company. That's not how supply chains behave. They involve other enterprises outside your own. You need a carrier that's actually going to ship stuff for you, whether it's trucking, ocean. You work with suppliers and manufacturers, and those manufacturers work with raw material components. So what One Network brought to us was this sort of multi-enterprise network ecosystem of over 150,000 companies that allows us to run supply chains more efficiently by providing sort of a real-time view to what where stock is, what inventory is available, where a truck is in route, all of that. And it allows us to more efficiently orchestrate these super complex supply chains that span the world in a more efficient, agile way.
And talk about the innovation studio here. You mentioned that, the artificial intelligence innovation studio. Is that, is it coincidental to this acquisition, or what's the plan, and what purpose does it serve?
Yeah, we've been doing AI at scale. I would like to call it applied. It's not just marketing, right? It's actually running with customers. And like I said, we have 165 billion AI predictions a month. So, and we have hundreds of patents in this space. So it's something we've been doing for over a decade. You know, generative AI sort of came along, and, you know, suddenly all the normal AI wasn't sexy anymore, right? So we've been doing it at scale. So the AI Innovation Center is an opportunity for customers to come in, understand how we're using AI, how you apply it in an authentic way that unlocks real value for your business. And then we do a lot of research with customers. I mean, that's really what drives our patent portfolio. You know, we filed over 810 patents, and a lot of those are in the artificial intelligence space.
You know, the marketing aspect's interesting. I guess you need to, it's hard to explain what you do. I guess it's easier to see it. So where do you put it? Is this at Cypress Waters? I noticed you have an office at Cypress Waters.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, we've got a big one there. And then One Network has an office as well. We've got a lot of scale here.
So the proximity to DFW Airport, is that so you can fly them in and fly them back out?
Oh, it is. And also, we have, you know, we've got a global customer base. So people fly in from all over Asia, all over Europe, and they can fly straight direct into Dallas. So that's a big selling point. And this is, as we recruit people, this is Dallas is a great city that people want to come to. And so, you know, it's also a great, you know, a sort of a great attraction for us.
Well, you have a well-funded parent. I noticed Panasonic owns the company, but you're treated sort of as a separate entity. Do they just leave you alone and give you money?
Yeah, I mean, that's not a bad description, David. You know, we are a subsidiary of a very large company, but the strategic alignments there are probably not obvious, so I can probably unpack it a little bit. I mean, that's a company, Panasonic, that's been believes in innovation and R&D, which is very much core to our philosophy. You know, we believe we can engineer a lot of the challenges that exist in supply chains out of existence, including the impact on the planet in terms of, you know, carbon emissions that you get from supply chains. And, you know, they've invented a lot of things. They invented the world's first DVD recorder, the first portable video camera. I mean, a lot of stuff. They're the guys that build the batteries for Tesla. When you hear about a gigafactory, it's really Panasonic's, right? So their belief in innovation and taking a long-term view is really well aligned with us. And obviously, as you can tell, you talked about the One Network acquisition. We're able to tap into their balance sheet, and it gives us a lot of strategic advantages in the market.
So are you right-sized right now? Are you still on the look?
We're generally, this will sound odd after having done $1 billion in acquisitions over the last 6 months. We're very much an engineering company. We prefer to build things. Sometimes there are areas of supply chain that just take a long time to build, and a network is one of them. I mean, it took 20 years for that organization to get to the scale they did. Because it's more than engineering. You're putting 150,000 companies onto a network. It's kind of like the Facebook of supply chain, if you like. So, we'll have a very prudent, balanced approach as it relates to acquisitions.
Duncan Angove is the CEO of Blue Yonder, which has a growing presence in North Texas, which we like. It's good to have you with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot. For more of a conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.